My hand. I have never really admitted a whole lot to singing. I was in a show choir. You may be seated. Kids Club can be dismissed. I was in a show choir going through school and things, and then I sang a little bit in my church, youth praise team, everything else growing up, but I never considered myself much of a singer. And when about midweek, we have a worship group. What's that thing called? Group Me. It's called Group Me, yeah. And we're all going back and forth. And about midweek, Josie was like, dude, my voice just isn't going to make it. And I might be able to do the altar call, but that's it. What are our options? And so I threw a few options out and everything else. And then Josie, man, in full boldness of the Holy Spirit, says, Eddie, can you sing a couple songs? And then Scotty can sing a song and everything else. And they're like, I mean, you could see it through the group. There was like complete deer in headlight moment where they're like, so forth. And I was like, you guys will be fine. And they were, right? They did a great job. And Eddie was telling me this morning, he's like, dude, I used to sing all the time. I used to have like 3 or 4 songs ready always because I never knew when they were going to go. And he said to do it in like 2 days. And I'm like, you'll be fine. And God showed up and we're thankful for that. And like we said in the beginning, worship is about our heart, right? We preached a whole sermon series, so I'm not going to get lost in that this morning. But worship is about our heart, and worship is about our expression towards God and keeping God on the throne and where he needs to be. Last week we talked about that. As part of our prayer sermon series, and as part of that, we talked last week about how Jesus, when he gave us the model prayer, he put it in perspective to us immediately, right? He said, our Father, right? Showing relationship, which art in heaven, right? Showing position, right? Hallowed be thy name, showing devotion, right? And everything else. And that's how he began his prayer, right? And then we started to get into a little bit, and we're going to hit it more this morning. The next part of that prayer, that model prayer, when Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, the next part of that is, let your kingdom come, right? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You with me? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, right? So what is that setting to us? We've already set position for where God is. We've already set position that he's on the throne. And our problem as Christians is a lot of time we bring him off the throne to our level. We expect him to look at things the way we look at things. We expect him to react to things the way we react to things. We expect him to deal with things the way we deal with things in the flesh. Jesus, giving us a model, says, no. You need to start thinking about things the way he does. You need to start praying about things the way he does. You need to start dealing with things the way he does. So by precedent in prayer, we're going to set this example, right? And so we want his kingdom, the kingdom that he's already on the throne, we've already established that, we want his kingdom to become alive and to become real in our heart and life, right? So that's why it's so important. Now, there's a video that we used last week to introduce things, and I'm going to ask Bopper to play that again, but I jumped in there real quick ahead of him. He's probably going, what are you doing? And because he's used to me by now. But I want him to play that again. I want you to pay really close attention to the words, because I think it really sets up the mindset for this sermon series the way it needs to be. Go ahead, Bop. So disposition, Everything that we talk about in this sermon series is going to take us back to that word disposition. How we approach God, how we think about God, how we deal with our issues and how we deal with our problems, how we deal with our struggles. All of it depends. Our Christianity, right? Our anointing, our position with God, all of it depends on our disposition, right? And if you look at this prayer and if you look at the models Jesus gives us in prayers and you look later, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7 this morning, but if we look at these things, we see that in every situation, God is confronting us about how we need to approach God and come into where God is rather than trying to drag God into where we are, right? And what happens in life? We mess up, right? We do dumb things and we mess up. We get full of ourselves and we think of ourselves to be something when we're nothing and everything else. And what do? Immediately? We lasso God and we want to drag him into it, right? Well, Jesus says, no, that's the wrong disposition. That's the wrong mindset. That's the wrong attitude. If you want God to move in your life and if you want the power of heaven to move in your life, then your disposition needs to change. And instead of dragging God into your mess, you need to take your mess to God. You need to go to his throne. You need to find where he is and you need to allow him to begin to work you and prepare you and fix you and empower you to deal with your mess, right? So often we just want to snap our fingers and it be gone, right? And sometimes, he promises that with faith we can move mountains, right? So I'm not at all telling you that God can't do big things, but a lot of times what we need to do is we need to nail the little things and we need to grow in the little things. And we need to allow the kingdom mindset and the kingdom heart and the kingdom ways to become part of who we are, what we are, and how we live, right? We need to approach God. In Matthew 7, verse 7, very familiar scripture. You see it all the time. It's often quoted on Facebook and different things like this. It tells us, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock. And it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? So what we find is that God is telling us, Jesus is telling us yet again in Matthew 7, amen, your kingdom come. Right? In the prayer that we're modeling, he says, your kingdom come, let your will be done in earth. Modern translations will say on earth, right? Older translations will say in earth. Why? Because it needs to happen in here, right? The problem with a lot of us is it's happening on here, right? We make it look good, right? We talk it up. We build ourselves up, amen? And it's on us for a second or two. And then when no one's looking, we go back to our same old mess, right? Right? The old translations say in us. Why? Because God just wasn't wanting an appearance. God is wanting a disposition and a heart that has moved and changed towards him. Amen? So he says, in you, my kingdom come, thy will be done in you as it is in heaven. So what we're doing now is we're setting the idea. We've already established position, right? We've already established power. We've already established who's in control and who's in charge, right? So now what Jesus is teaching us is we need to seek the things that God has, the riches that God has, right, to build our kingdom upon so that it's not our kingdom, it's his. And that we live within the realm of that kingdom, within the thinking of that kingdom, within the disposition of that kingdom. You see, a lot of our problems as Christian is we got a bad disposition, right? Jesus deals with that in chapter 7, right before these verses that I give to you, when he tells us to judge not, that you be not judged. Now, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean that you can take away the principles of Scripture and the lining up to those principles of Scripture. But what it does mean is it means our ability to be hypercritical of everyone else while we sit on our own little self-appointed throne is garbage. It's garbage. And what it does is it teaches us and it brings us and it moves us to a place that we begin living our lives that instead of tearing others down to build ourselves up, we really start acting like Jesus and we start building others up while we also build ourselves up. I've said for years, I've done this for a long time, and I've said for years, the problem with the church is we got a whole lot of wannabes, and this is going to make some of you mad maybe. We got a whole lot of wannabes, but we got very few servants. We got very few servants. You show me a servant heart, and I'll show you someone who's starting to get it and is starting to model themselves after Jesus Christ. Because if there was ever a servant in history, if there was ever someone that put the kingdom and put the Father in the proper place and lived a life and maintained a disposition that was built on serving others rather than self, it was Jesus. And until we start to walk in that direction, until we start to let that sink in, and until we start to abide by that kingdom and that mindset and that lifestyle, then we're kind of fulfilling the life of a wannabe. Like we said last week when we talked about prayer, how the one went in and you know, pounded himself, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like that guy. I don't live like this. I don't live like that. Thank you that I'm high and holy and majestic." Right? That's not me. Y'all laughing, but that's the Bible. Jesus laid that down long before I did, right? And then another guy comes in, the publican comes in, fell on his face, the scripture says. Oh, and that's when God gets moved. That's when God gets moved, is when we're willing to set ourselves aside. When we're willing to say to him and to everybody around us, "God, don't make this about me. Make this about you." When we say to God, "I want your position to remain, and I want to approach that position. Amen. I want to serve others. I want to love others. I want to move in people's lives according to you and not according to me." Amen. That's why I say all the time, look for the servants. Look for the people in bad times. Look for the people in hard times. Look for the people who have nothing and are giving what little bit they have. And I'll say those are the ones who've really found God. Those are the ones who are walking in the kingdom, amen, and not just puffing themselves up. Because there's a real problem when we start to think of ourselves to be something when we're nothing. Right? There's a real problem when we start to live this life in a manner and in a way when we start to think we're something. Now, don't get me wrong. God moves and God anoints people and God takes people. But if you look really hard at Scripture, how many of those people exalted themselves ever? Show me one person God used who stood up and paraded like he was something or like she was something. The ones God chooses to use are the ones who choose to live a life with disposition and heart to serve God and to serve man and to build his kingdom. That's why the prayer says, "Your kingdom come." Your lifestyle, your mindset, your way of thinking, your love, your manner, come. Come. And then in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus takes us a little step farther and he tells us, okay, don't just pray the prayer. Do the prayer. Ask. Right? Ask. Seek. Knock. Right? If you really want it, pursue it. If you really want it, work at it. If you really want it, delve into it. Right? Sometimes we have not because we ask not, right? Sometimes we have not because we pray amiss, right? Sometimes we have not because our attitude stinks, right? Sometimes we have not because as much as we like to say, is God really isn't first. Right? When we start to move ourselves towards the kingdom of God, we bring ourselves to a place to where His throne matters and His ways and His manners matter, and we start to change our lives to live like Him. Right? And we can do 100 different. I preached that wannabe message one time in a week-long revival about how, and using the Beatitudes as the text, and how a lot of us are wannabes, amen? Because when the rubber meets the road, how many of us are really living those Beatitudes? Huh? How many of us are meek and lowly? Huh? How many of us are really truly accepting the persecutions and the things that we do for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ? How many of us are allowing God to move in our lives in a manner, in a way that tells us that this life doesn't matter, but that life does? Right? And yet we shake our heads, we amen, we clap our hands, and we leave, and we keep doing the same earthly things over and over and over again. Amen. Don't get me wrong. Go to work tomorrow. Okay? Go to work tomorrow. Do the things that you're supposed to do. Be a parent. Do all of that stuff, right? I don't want you all going crazy and quitting your job and everything else and saying, Pastor Jay said, pursue the kingdom. Amen. No, don't be a sluggard. Amen. You want to pursue the kingdom, go out and do your job and do it better than anybody in the place. Do it better than anybody else. Right? Let everyone talk about you because you're modeling a disposition of heaven by giving it 110%. Right? That's what I want you to do tomorrow. And then God will make everything happen around you. I'm a believer in that. He will make things happen around you. Right? Thy will be done in earth, in me, as it is in heaven. Let's read the rest of that. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. You know what that tells me about God? It tells me that God wants to move in our lives. God wants to work in our lives. God wants to empower us. God wants to bless us. Amen. But when you talk about blessing, amen, it's not about wealth and it's not about money and it's not about all of these different things. What God wants to do by blessing us is He wants to bring the kingdom into us so that we're living according to the way God is. Amen. You say, well, now wait a minute, preacher. Jabez said, enlarge my territory. Amen. If you really read and study that prayer, he wasn't asking about more land. He was asking about understanding and depth of God. He was asking God to enlarge the territory, enlarge his thinking, enlarge his mannerisms according to heaven. He wanted to expand his kingdom with God's. He wanted to become more like God. He wanted to live like God. He wanted God to move into his life. What was he doing? He was asking. And he was willing to receive it. He was knocking and praying that God opened the door. He was seeking so that he might find. And our problem is we want it, but we don't want to put the work in for it. Amen? And because of that, we struggle. We struggle spiritually. And that doesn't mean we're not saved. Okay, I'm not taking salvation. That's grace through faith, happened on a cross, amen, in an empty tomb, right? But sometimes our spirituality, sometimes our empowerment that we want so badly with God, and we'll talk about it for hours with each other, but yet we'll never ask, seek, or knock once for God to do something different. Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way. When you pray, pray like this. When you seek God, do it like this. Amen? Because I'm interested in what's going on inside of you, not what's going on you. That's why I don't have a problem with the new translations at all. I use a lot of them in my studies. But I always start with the King James Version. I always read to you from the King James Version because I believe it's an important starting spot. It's an important starting spot. Now, I use probably 10 different translations in my studies, amen? But sometimes you find something like this where it matters, okay? Because if I just worry about what's on me, well, shoot, I can stand in front of a mirror and fix what's on me, right? We all do that. We look away. We talk away. We know how to present it so that it looks away. Well, that's what's on you. Jesus says, I don't care what's on you. I want God's will to be done in you. In you. That's why it matters, is because God is interested about what's in you. Right? Creating depth, TJ, like we talked about the other night. Creating depth. You know, building God's kingdom in us, in our church, in our youth. Building that kingdom in who we are and what we are. Amen? And sometimes the marketing guy and me, when we're talking church stuff, sometimes the marketing guy and me and the Christian and me kind of blend a little bit and so forth. But I believe sometimes, man, if we're alive in the kingdom, then we're going to be living out that highway and hedges mentality. Amen? And if that highway and hedges is walking down the street, if that highway and hedges is making a post on social media, if that highway and hedges is finding people where they are and telling them about the power and the love of Jesus Christ, then we should be doing it. We should be furthering that kingdom where people are. Amen? Jesus just didn't go to the synagogues. Jesus didn't just show up at the synagogues. He did that, yes, and even the leaders were like, whoa, dude. I haven't heard teaching like that in forever. Well, no, because you're living a bad disposition. You're living a bad kingdom life. So when the kingdom shows up, no, your practices don't measure with his practices because you're over here puffing yourself up, right? Jesus didn't just go to the synagogue, the streets. He went to the mountains and he went to the hills. He went to
So what? So what we find is in those moments, Jesus took the glory and the holies of heaven into those highways and into those hedges that he compelled us to go into, and he allowed people to come to him, right? He didn't just go, right, to these places and find one person or find that person. He had those moments, like the woman at the well, but he put himself in places and in positions where people would come to him, and we find that they followed him. Because by following him, what we found out is that they began telling their friends. And they began telling their friends. And they began telling their friends. Before we know it, there are 5,000 people plus women and children, 5,000 men plus women and children, following Jesus around. Why? Because he talked with authority in their life. He showed love and compassion, not condemnation. Amen? When we talk about the judge not, that's what we're talking about. Amen? It's okay to exercise the word of God, but if you're exercising the word of God in condemnation, you don't understand Jesus Christ. You don't understand him. There's a lot of people who over the years have come to me and they're critical about everything. They're critical about everybody. Every preacher's not as good as they are. Every worshiper's not as good as they are. Everybody has something wrong with them other than them. And normally somewhere in those conversations, I'm like, bro, you need Jesus. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, dude. I don't ever see Jesus anywhere treating people, thinking about people, dealing in their heart with people like you do. So somewhere along the way, you've missed the boat. So quit talking to me about how you're all that and start showing me that you're willing to love people like he loves them, and you're willing to help people like he helps them, and you're willing to get involved in their lives like he did, and start making a difference. And you'll find that those people that you're chewing up and spitting out every day aren't that bad, because you'll be more focused on yourself than you are them. Amen? It's about that disposition. It's about that kingdom disposition. It's about knowing that God is on the throne, not us, not me, not you. God is on the throne, and we are called to that throne, and we are told to ask for it, we're told to seek for it, and we're told to knock for God to let us in, right? Now, the interesting thing about knocking, right, he has the opportunity to say, but he doesn't. Because no matter where we are, no matter what our heart is, he's able to change it. He's able to make a difference. And friend, the one thing I want you to understand this morning is I want you to make it. Right? I look around a room that includes myself, and I see nobody perfect. Right? Some of you are going, well, now, wait a minute, right? You need Jesus, bro, right? I already covered that. You need Jesus, all right? We've moved on. That ship's done sailed, right? You need Jesus, right? But no matter where we are in our life right now, no matter how many times we've failed, no matter how many times we've messed that up, God still has a purpose and a will for your life, and he still wants to do it in you. And so he's asking you to come. He's asking you to seek. He's asking you to knock. And he's asking you to ask. Right? So how do I ask, Jay? Well, number one, get in the Word. Because as you understand the Word, and as the Word starts to line you up, right? Again, some of you are probably sitting there thinking, well, I don't need lined up. Dude, you need Jesus, okay? I'm going to keep telling you that, right? You start allowing the Word to line you up. And as the Word lines you up, you start understanding what to ask for. You start understanding what's needed in your life. You start understanding where you're lacking. You start understanding where you fall short, right? And so when we talk about prayer, it is vital for us to keep God on that throne and know the position we're seeking. Because if we get him off that throne and put ourselves on it, we will be a mess. We will be a mess because we have no power and authority to hold that throne. We have no capability with which to sit there. And it will show badly. No matter what you think, it will show badly if you try to be that when you're not. And Jesus understands it. So he says, let my kingdom come. Let my ways, let my thinking, let my love, let my strategies, let my understanding, let that kingdom come into you and let it start to work in you and let it start to mold you and change you into what I purposed in you from the beginning. And when you start to achieve the things that God made precedent in your life when he formed you in the womb, when you start to allow those keys to take hold of who you are and to become part of what you become, then the glory of God and the power of the Holy Ghost will start to manifest itself in you. As long as you're puffing yourself up, he's like, I don't want to give any authority to that. I don't want to give any authority to that. I want to give authority to those who let my kingdom come. I want to give authority to those who want my will. I want to give authority to those who let it happen inside of them. and not just on them. Amen. For so many years, we've caught ourselves up in those who look a certain way, who talk a certain way, who know how to play the game, if you will. And we're easily deceived and fooled by that. And then we find ourselves wanting when it doesn't end up being all that. Amen? And because of that, we get hurt, we get angry, and we think it's God's fault. No. It's our fault for pursuing the wrong things. It's our fault for letting the wrong people have influence over us. Because Jesus says, let my kingdom come. Let my kingdom come. Jesus says, let my will be done in you as it's done in heaven. So when we think about our disposition, as we kneel, as we sit, and when we pray, as we stand and walk and pray, as we approach God, however we approach God, it is about our disposition. It is about how we act. Amen? He's not just that extra study kids when we don't study well and we're going into a test and we're like, oh God. I can't fail this test. Oh God. Well, you know what? If you didn't put the work in, fail that test. That's not God's problem, right? Adult, if you weren't responsible to the things that you should be responsible for, and now you're saying, oh God, right? Well, it ain't God's fault, right? You're dragging him into your mess, right? He's inviting you out of your mess to be where he is. So when we start talking about prayer and why it matters that the church prays, this is why. It's important that we pray. It is vital that we pray, but it is vital that we pray the right way. It is vital that we pray in a way that says this is about God and not about me. It is important that we approach his throne in such a way that we say this is about the kingdom and not earth, not my life, not the stuff I have or don't have. Our disposition needs to be turned towards God so that we are asking ourselves to change and become like him. And it's so important that we do that. So often we come to an altar, so often we allow God's work to happen in our lives, and we get up from that altar and we keep doing the same things, thinking the same way, living the same way, okay? Now, for some it happens immediately, and for some it's a process, right? And you've got to work through that, and don't anybody ever sit there and judge that, amen? Because some people are trying to come from a whole lot darker places into the light than you come into the light, and so it becomes a process for some, and we have to disciple them, and we have to love them, and we have to encourage them. That's why God needs servants, hello, right? So that we give them the backbone and the foundation that they need. But ultimately, it's all about us coming to a place where we allow God to move. And we allow God to make a difference. Because if not, we can make a difference all day long. But sooner or later, it'll crumble. Sooner or later, it won't be enough. Sooner or later, we will fail and fall short, and people will see us for what we are. Right? It's got to be about his kingdom. It's got to be about his will. And it's got to be about it happening inside of us. From there, Jesus goes on to say, give me this day. Here's how you pray. Give me this day my daily bread. Give me this day, today. Give me what I need today. Right? In other places in Scripture, he says, give no thought for the morrow. Give no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. I'll take care of tomorrow. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen. If I feed the sparrow, I'll feed you. Right? Give me today what I need today, Lord. Take care of today, Lord. Amen. What he's saying by daily bread, amen, he's not even talking about stuff, right? Sometimes we confuse the bread to mean that it's about this and it's about that. Bless me with this, bless me with that, God. Let me eat a good meal today, you know, all of that. And yes, God cares about us and God will provide for our needs. I'm not taking any of that away from Scripture from you. But what I want you to understand is that daily bread sometimes is just that opening and that receiving and that love that comes down from heaven into our lives that begins to mold us and change us. As nourishment, spiritual nourishment that says, I'm not going to leave you as you are, but I'm going to mold you and I'm going to use you as I intend. Right? And it will always be according to the word. If not, he's a liar, and I don't believe he's a liar. That's why the word matters. But when we think about daily bread, sometimes our disposition with it is wrong because we're pursuing again what we get out of it. We're pursuing again what God is going to give us, what God is going to bless us with, what God is going to do in our lives. Amen. Don't misunderstand me. God wants to bless us, but the blessings will come when the kingdom comes. Right? When the way of thinking that God sets for our life comes, that is when the blessings will come. Right? Don't go live like a scoundrel and claim Scripture and expect blessing. That's not going to work. Don't be dutyless. Right? I don't even know if that's a word. Mador, is that a word? No, kind of not. Yeah. We're going to make it a word right now. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. So dutiful is a word. Right? Dutiful is a word, but some of us are dutyless. We serve nothing or no one but ourselves. We serve nothing or no one but ourselves, and then we expect blessing. We expect anointing. We expect God to pour out on us. Amen? You need Jesus, bro. Right? Start serving. Start serving. Right? Then expect blessing. Then expect blessing. Kingdom come. See, that's a kingdom precept. That's a kingdom precept. And we can talk kingdom all day long, but if we're not willing to serve, amen, Jesus Christ, right hand of God, Son of God, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, author and finisher of our faith, served, left heaven, and served. So sometimes we just need to get over ourselves. And let the kingdom come. Let the kingdom come. Let it begin to work in us. And then the blessings will come. The power will come. The manifestation will come. The Spirit will speak. And God will do great things. But it's not going to come in selfishness. It's not going to come in self-exaltation. Right? It's not going to come on earth, right? It's got to come in earth. It's got to move in us. And it's got to change us and it's got to draw us to that throne of God. So as we look at this, and hopefully next week we'll be able to finish the series up, I want you to understand that prayer is about your disposition. It's about how you think. It's about how you act, and it's about how you choose to pursue God, right? Our Father, relationship, who art in heaven, position, hallowed be thy name, reverence, thy kingdom come, purpose, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven, manifestation. Give us this day our daily bread. Dutiful. Pursuit. Ask. Seek. Knock. God move you to where he is. And quit thinking we have the right to drag him to where we are. Make it about him, not about you. And then glory will fall. Glory will fall. Let's stand and sing.